have Ross Killeen here, who's the director of Love Yourself Today. And thanks very much for joining us on Near FM to talk about your new film. How did it come about? Can you tell me a little bit of the background to the film?
Yeah, so the genesis of the film was that I was going through a bit of a hard time at the time. My mother was very sick. She had dementia. And I've just gone through a tough time with it. And someone suggested to me, you know, Ross, you should go and see Damien Dempsey gig. And, you know, I knew about Damo, but obviously, you know, heard his music and all that kind of stuff, but hadn't experienced the live thing before. And my wife was pregnant at the time. And we went along to the gig and we sat in Vicar Street. And basically just sat there and was completely mesmerized by what I saw and what I heard. I'm a massive music fan, been to a lot of gigs over the years, but I'd never been to anything like this. I spent the whole gig watching the crowd, watching Damo, cried my eyes out, had loads of hugs with my wife, you know, and come the end of the gig, I felt amazing. I walked out of the gig feeling great. I felt like I'd kind of had some kind of spiritual cleansing almost, you know, like I'd left everything there on the floor and felt the better for it, you know. Like when I say, you know, watching the fans, I was, you know, people who have been to see Damo, you know, it's a very emotional experience. People are singing together. Damo sings about loss. He sings about, you know, things that other singers don't really go near, I don't think, you know. And he kind of, it's almost like a safe space for people to really let go, you know. And there's a sense of community there and camaraderie. And, you know, I feel like it's all relative. There's some people there in the crowd who have been through the depths of hell or whatever in their lives. And then other people who've just maybe broken up with their girlfriend or something like that. But everyone's feeling some kind of loss or something. And it's all relative to them. And it's a safe space for everyone to just let that out, you know, and it's lovely. So I basically left that gig feeling great. I met a friend of mine in a pub and we were having a few pints and I got talking to him about it. And he, Ross MacDonald is his name. He's a director, photographer as well. And he was like, wouldn't it be great to do a doc about Damo and the fans? He'd had this idea. And the minute he said it, I was like, oh yeah, I want in on that project. That sounds amazing. And the minute the sentence was said, Doc Damo fans, I immediately was like, yeah, I can see the film. I knew which songs we'd use. I knew what kind of characters we'd be looking for and how it would all piece together. And for about a year, we were kind of back and forth. He was based in New York. I was here in Dublin. I thought he was going to direct it and that I'd produce it. And eventually he kind of was like, you know what? He saw 99 Problems, which is a short film I made. And he was like, why don't you direct it? You know, you're there in Dublin. Why don't you direct it? And he would be the exec producer. And I said, yeah, okay. So at that point, I put together a treatment, wrote out the whole idea for what I thought the film would be. And through a mutual friend, managed to get that document to Damo himself and got to meet Damo in a cafe in Raheny and basically sat opposite him having a coffee and talked him through what I thought the film would be and how we'd do it. Damo kind of just sat there very silently, not saying a whole lot, very hard to read. Didn't know whether he liked anything that I was saying or whether he thought I was insane or what, you know, but listened carefully as I read through it. And then at the end of it, he basically just said, I love it. And that we should make a film that helps people. So that was like the rule number one of the film was, can we do something that, you know, might help people with whatever struggles they're going through? Rule number two then, and it's important to have rules in a film, you know, just to write some things down that come back to all the time. The second rule was basically to really capture what goes on in Vicar Street, you know, to really document the vibe, the feeling in that room, it's the spiritual feeling, I believe, the sense of community and that safe space that I talked about, like to really capture that authentically and put that on film. And then the third thing was to kind of follow some of the fans and try and understand what goes on in their lives, what they've been through that makes this music resonate so deeply with them. So that was the kind of genesis of the film, half concert film, capturing the live experience and then going deep with the fans to kind of, yeah, dig into why they're there, why they go every year, and why the music resonates with them.
I've been to a few of those Damien concerts, quite a few over the years. Very powerful what you captured in Vicar Street. The concert itself is very authentic to what it actually is. And you talked about the characters, the fans going deep with the fans. So some of the insights into the characters are very powerful. And I'm thinking specifically here, there's a scene with one of your characters is Nadia and her group, where towards the start of her story, where they're saying a group mantra. And it's very revealing. What was it like to capture some of them scenes?
Well, yeah, Nadia, the three characters are Jonathan, Nadia and Paddy, and three very different people, but all been through a lot of stuff in their lives, and was really important to, I guess it's important to mention that, you know, when I met them for the first time, it really was important for me to explain very clearly what the film was and what I was going to expect from them, you know, in terms of like, we wanted to go really deep into things, you know. We didn't want to shy away from anything. Damo is very honest, authentic. There's a rawness to Damo, and like the film had to be made in his image, you know. It was very important for me that Nadia, Paddy and Jonathan kind of knew that from the outset. And, you know, their motivations for getting involved were to help people. Could, by them sharing their stories and what they've been through, could that help other people, you know, see something in their lives that might help them get through what's going on with them? So to answer your question, Nadia was, you know, one of our characters, and Nadia's was in December. We shot it all in December 2019 as well. It's kind of all shot in 1 month, which is also important to note, because December is a time of year, typically it's spiritual kind of time of the year. We're looking back, we're looking forward. So, and obviously the gig is in December. So it was all about just capturing a moment or a period in people's lives rather than following them over a long period. So Nadia's story is she was in a rehabilitation center for people with addiction issues in Blanchardstown. And we pick up her story, as you say. She's in. They have a morning meeting where they recite a mantra every morning. And it was unbelievable to be in the room observing that. And these women who have been through a lot of, you know, a lot of heartache, a lot of trauma in their lives. And there's a strength in them together. You'll see in the film, they're arm in arm, and it kind of represented, you know, in a way, it kind of, I mean, just thinking about this now, it kind of represents the film, represents what the gigs are about as well. You know, that sense of community and that sense of sharing our problems is a good thing, you know, and letting the group. So yeah, it was amazing. Ashley House were incredible. All the staff in Ashley House and all the other women there were very accommodating and very open to letting us in. And being the fly on the wall during those mornings, you know.
We are here because there's no refuge finding from ourselves. Until we confront ourselves in the eyes and hearts of others, we are running. Until we suffer others to share in our secrets, we have no safety from them. Afraid to be known, we cannot know neither ourselves nor any others, we will be alone. Where else but on this common ground can we find such a mirror? Here together we can at last appear clearly to ourselves. Not as the giant of our dreams, not as war for our fears, but as unique beings, part of a whole that we share as a purpose. In this ground we each take root and grow. Not alone anymore as in death, but alive to ourselves and to others. Morning!
It wasn't easy walking back in here, you know, but yous all made me very welcome. And trust to all yous on another day clean and sober.
You tell me a little bit about the cinematography. Because for me, some of the shots in the film were beautiful. And just to let listeners know, it's shot fully in black and white as well.
Narian Van Mala is the cinematographer. And Narian is someone I've worked with over the years on various projects. And he shot the 99 Problems with me. And we wanted, because it's a kind of spiritual film, but not spiritual in an organized religious way, more modern spirituality. There was kind of a loose metaphor of like we've four characters, we've Damo, we've Nadia, we've Paddy, we've Jonathan. And it was all about the human spirit and the natural elements coming together to create this kind of spirit of humanity, I guess, you know. So we had water, Jonathan was water, Nadia was earth, Paddy was fire, and and Damo was air. When those four elements combine, something that is subtly there in the film, you know, and that was worked very hard with Nari and on, like, how can we kind of capture that and have that there? And like, the film is kind of meditative as well. Like, we kind of linger on shots quite maybe longer than, you know, like, it's almost like you're expecting to cut away from the shot. But by lingering that little bit longer, you're staying with that person and you're really listening to them, you know. And that was all very intentional as well. Yeah, all shot in black and white. Kind of wanted to make something that was, you know, again, like I said, meditative. So having it in black and white removed a lot of distraction. You know, sometimes you're looking at something in color, you're like, oh, he's wearing a red jumper, and oh, the curtains there are pink. Oh, you know. But when everything's in black and white, you're just really, I don't know, you're more in it, you know. That was always the intention to shoot in black and white for that reason, you know.
Just go a little bit back to the Vicar Street footage, if you don't mind. It's quite vivid, maybe, the detail. Were you surprised how well some of those scenes came out?
All documentary filmmakers, we want to be invisible. We don't want people to be like, oh, look, there's a camera there. Hiya, you know, waving at us or anything. And what was actually brilliant about the gigs, once the gig started, people were really so engrossed in the music that they didn't notice us there at all. Arian was amazing at, like, really capturing those emotions that people were going through without interrupting it.
I am an angry man, yeah. I vent it when I can, yeah. On the bag.
Just not forgetting Damien himself. I've seen him interviewed, I suppose, a fair few times over the years, but generally on stuff like, I don't know, RTE programs, chat shows, that kind of stuff. Was it a difficult process to get him to open up the way he did?
Well, again, like, I spent a lot of time hanging out with Damo, getting to know him, you know, like, same with all the casts. Like, I'd say I hung out with them four times more than I actually rolled the camera on, you know. So that was very important, to just hang out with Damo, you know, get to know him, explain to him what it was all about, so he knew. And the thing about the gig, and this goes back to the very first thing I said about, like, when I watched the crowd and I watched Damo, you could see that Damo was really, you believed him. He's singing songs about loss and he's singing songs about depression. You know that he's experienced that, you know, and it was very important. And also, when you go to the gig, it's not like he's on the stage and everyone else is below him. It's very much he's part of the experience and he's experiencing it as much as everyone else. So in the film, we treated Damo as just like the other characters, you know, and that made sense to me, that like, Damo is just another person in the room there, you know. Yeah, he's the guy singing the songs, but he's been through stuff, you know, he has his coping mechanisms, and how he dealt with the trauma in his life was very important to be in the film, you know, and Damo recognized that. And realized what we were trying to do and was very open to that, you know. Yeah, it wasn't easy and, you know, wasn't something I just switched on, but I think that really brought the film together when Damo kind of goes deep into his life, because I think it wouldn't have worked as well otherwise, you know. I think that was really important.
Well, Ross, it's a really brilliant film, I have to say.
It's the kind of film you should watch with people, and I think you don't have to be a Damien Dempsey fan to get it, you know. A lot of people who've watched it have said that they were mildly curious about Damo, and now they really understand what it's all about. And, you know, it's the themes that we're dealing with in the film are universal, and I'm hopeful that obviously Damo's fans are going to lap it up. I would encourage everyone to go and see it, obviously, but it's out today in all cinemas, and I would encourage everyone to go and see it and support Irish cinema and Irish artists.
Ross, thanks a million. I really appreciate you taking the time to talk to us.
Not at all, Paul. Really appreciate you having me on. Thanks a million.
No bother.